In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to our series, Treasures, commenting on the Epistle of St. Paul to Romans, chapter 6. And St. Paul was focusing on the sacrament of baptism as the only way to be born again, not to be Adam's people, but to be Christ's people, to be the people of heaven, not the people of earth. And then he made a question. What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Because some people may speak about freedom and some philosophers may speak about full freedom of man. Actually, there is no full freedom. Man is limited with his boundaries. Man is not, with no beginning, with no ending. We all have limits. But within these limits, we have a real freedom to choose what to do. But again, we are following one master in our choices as if we choose one master to follow. So we are kind of slaves anyway. Either slaves of God, obeying God, happily following Christ, or obeying devil, obeying death, obeying lusts, and that's our choice. So he made it in a philosophy of choosing the master. Who will you choose? Which way, which master to follow? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So while we were slaves of sin, we choose to believe. We followed the doctrine of eternity, the truth given through Christ, the way for eternal life. So the form of doctrine to which we were delivered, we freed from being slaves of sin and we started to live as slaves to God. You know, the word slaves to God is not very accurate, but he meant that by our free choice, we now following God's commandments, but happily, freely, as if we choose to be his slaves, but that's for our benefit, for our eternal life. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He wanted to focus upon that the new nature of baptized people is again a sinful life. And it's not easy for any good Christian to do sin because it's just against his nature now. I speak in human terms because the word slaves of righteousness is not, very reasonable, because righteousness is a free gift given by God. But we choose to obey God, to obey commandments, so as if we choose to be slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. As if he's saying now, struggle to prove that you are really new people, newly born people. Now you are the people, the chosen one of God, and your name's in the book of life in heaven. So prove this by your life, by obeying God's commandments, by staying away from all old life you had before. Because most of these people were pagans. They lived in sin. They lived corrupted. So after baptism, they should live a real Christian good life. Again, the steps given in these last six chapters. Faith in Christ Himself, the only Savior, who came to save us from eternal darkness, eternal condemnation. And having this faith, we are ready to be baptized, to be born again, to have the new nature of the saved people. After baptism, we should stick to the new nature. We should struggle not to go back to our old man or our old nature, as if we are now living as slaves of righteousness. We cannot go outside this right way of righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. When in old days, before believing in God and baptized, these people were slaves of sin and they were totally away from righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? He is reminding them of their old life. Did you really enjoy this life? Did you see your life fruitful? Could you see the old life is a bright one, is a good one? What of which you were now ashamed? You know, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? When they recalled their old life, they felt ashamed. For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So the old life was approaching death, darkness, hell. But the new way is towards holiness. And this holiness is the start of eternal life, happiness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. So if we live our life in sin, we choose to die forever. If we choose to live in Christian good life, now we choose the eternity of Christ. Chapter 7. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? In chapter 7, St. Paul will discuss the value of Moses' law, because the Jew people, you know, they cannot let go with the idea of that they were people of Moses. They had the law. They are different. They are superior than the Gentiles. They had the privilege of being the law people. So he will discuss the idea of the law. The law did not add much to them because they failed to follow the law. So they are on the same line, the baseline of all people are corrupted. None is good. No one is righteous. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law. Now he will focus speaking to the Jew people. They had the law. That the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Philosophically, as far as you live, the law, you know, is over you. For the woman, as an example, who had a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. According to the law of Moses, any wife is bound to her husband as far as he is living, but if the husband dies, now she is free. She is released, and she can marry somebody else. She is free to do whatever she likes because her husband is not there now. So he will apply the same example on the law and its relationship with the Jew people. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is not adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Now he will put the same example on the people of Moses. For the law, now you died, because you were baptized and you had the death of Christ in your life. So the law is not your husband now. The law has nothing to do with you. You are dead people for the law. So the bond between you and the law broken now. It's not anymore there, because you are freed from the law. Don't follow the rituals of Moses' law anymore, because you were freed, you were released from this. Because one side of you died. So the bond, the relationship ended forever. That you may be married to another. He put by the example of being married to Christ. They were like married to the law, and they had no real life, no happy life with the law. So they died. The old relationship ended. Now there is a new marriage between the people of Israel and the Lord Himself, Christ Himself, as a new husband. And they have that chance now because they already died. So they are released from the bond of the law. To Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Now the fruits will be given to God, not to the law. Because the new master, the new husband, the new man is Christ Himself. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. With the law, you know, the law moved the passions to sin, because they always say when something, you know, is not allowed, people like to do it. So they felt the passion to do bad things, because the law kept saying no, no, don't. So they couldn't do it. They need to do sin. So let's forget about the law. They died for the law. There is no relationship now between the law and these people. Now these people are Christ people. Christ is the new husband. So their life should be for Him. And the fruit should be the way He likes. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, died in baptism, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. Now we are serving our new man, Christ Himself. We are giving our lives totally to the new husband, to the one who freed us from the judgment of the law. And not in the oldness of the letter. Because, you know, the letter, meaning the words by itself, is always kind of judging people. No one could get out of the law letters. The law letters judge everyone, that all people are condemned according to the law. No one is good, no one is righteous. All people are condemned, are judged. But with the grace of Christ, with the freedom given through Christ, with the gift of baptism, we are not now related to law, but we are related to our new master, our Lord Christ, the Savior Himself. So we will follow His law, not Moses' law, because we are His people now. And His law is inside our heart by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell us what to do. And it goes exactly with the words of the Lord Christ given in the New Testament. Now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We have the real freedom of the New Testament, because we are speaking to God as our Father. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We are happily following His commandments. We are not any more slaves for the letter. We are not living a life full of fears. No, we are living a life full of love and joy. What shall we say then? If the law sin, somebody may attack Paul, St. Paul, saying this means that the law was something bad, was sin by itself. So he made the question, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I wouldn't have known sin except through the law. For, as example, I wouldn't have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. So the law gave people the idea of right and wrong. He clarified what should we do and what should we do not. So it's not by itself a sin or bad. The law is kind of just rules. So the rules are, there are no problem with the rules. The problem is inside the people who could not follow the rules. But you cannot say the rules are bad. The rules are fine. Because still they go with the will of God. These were the words of God. But the rules by themselves could not help people to live better. So the problem inside the corrupted nature of the people, the law could not help to change this nature. So we need the miracle, we need the gift, the grace of God. The change will never happen by the will of man, because men fail to follow the law. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manners of evil desire. So the sin inside human nature made an opportunity of produced all manner of evil desires through the law. Proved that man cannot do this rule. Proved the corruption inside the hearts of men. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Without the law, you cannot consider sin by itself, define sin. But with the law, when the law came, sin now is there, because this is the transgression. But if there was no rule, you cannot say any kind of transgression happened. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. The commandment was just to bring a better life. But because of the sinful and corrupted nature, the same law, the same rule brought up death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So he is saying the law is, there is no problem with the law by itself. He is not attacking the Old Testament. He is not against the law of Moses. He is attacking the corrupted nature of human being. He is focusing that the problem was not in the law by itself, but was in the nature corrupted by sin in man. So salvation can never be through the law, but it should be through the Savior himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to him forever. Amen.